We are the second week in a new series called Commonly Tolerated Sins. And the idea here is that Christians, we as Christians, can become very preoccupied with the major sins that our culture has and that we have, and we can lose sight of our need to deal with our more subtle sins. We can be distracted from those subtle sins because we're focusing on large cultural sins. And so while it is important to be able to identify large cultural sins and to be able to understand that we need to take that seriously, we need to be able to also ask God to reveal in our hearts areas that we're continually sinning and we maybe just take it very lightly. And so we're going to look this morning, last week we looked at judgmentalism, and this week we will look at anxiety. And as I look at my own heart, especially over the last 5 years, I've found that I've traveled down the sinful path of anxiety quite a few times. And God has helped me to see that anxiety needs to be dealt with in a biblical way. And so this morning, that is really our goal, is to look at anxiety and say, how do we deal with it in a biblical way? So let's look to the Lord in prayer as we get started. Father God, we just ask for your guidance and direction. Lord, we are so grateful for this time together. And Lord, we just thank you that you are a firm foundation. Lord, you are our rock that we can stand on, Lord. And we know that we have, Lord, at times just experienced just this idea of just walking on uneasy ground in our lives, that we tend to worry and we're led into anxiety. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us this morning to get a handle on that and to see, Lord, what your word says about how we are to, Lord, look to you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity this morning to look at your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So we are going to look at anxiety, and I think it's important to define our terms as we get started. What is anxiety? The Greek word in the Bible for anxiety in the New Testament is a care that divides or parts or rips or tears apart. It's something that divides the mind, and we can't decide sometimes what to do about it. Jerry Bridges, in his book Respectable Sins, which I will reference time and time again during this series, says that anxiety is a fearful uncertainty over the future. John Piper, a pastor John Piper, said no one is immune to anxiety. But there's a difference between sinful anxiety and biblical anxiety. And when I talk about biblical anxiety, what I'm talking about is a genuine care or a genuine concern over things that you see. And Christ himself was troubled in spirit, says that in John 12 and John 13, that he felt deeply without ever sinning. So it's possible that our anxiety can lead us to a deeper dependence on the Lord. And that's really what we want to talk about this morning. But we want to first identify what the Bible says about sinful anxiety. Because the world tells us that anxiety is a healthy response to reality. In fact, Google says it's a normal human emotion. In 2019, Barnes & Noble, one of the largest book retailers in the world, had announced that the sales that they had on books dealing with anxiety rose 25%. Now, that was pre-COVID. So you can imagine how people recognize that anxiety is something that needs to be dealt with. And the word anxiety can be dealt with in a biblical way or an unbiblical way. And it's like a road sign where it splits into two different directions. And so I have a chart this morning that I'm going to put up a few different times. And really, I think it's helpful visually to see what this looks like. How this idea of worry or anxiety or concern can take us down a road. And it can take us two different directions. And the first one we're going to look at this morning is sinful anxiety. And that can lead us to turn to self. And that can happen in our lives when God seems distant, that he seems far away. And since the fall, in Genesis, anxiety has been a real problem for us. But there are a number of characteristics or indicators of sinful anxiety. And it can be seen in some different attitudes and actions. So this morning, I'm going to put up a list of those things. The first thing here, and there's quite a few of them, and I'm going to mention this too because you don't feel like you have to jot them down real quick. And if you want to take a picture of this, please, as we go through, feel free to do that with your phone. It's not going to distract me. But we hope to be in a place where we can put these slides online with the sermons, but we're not there yet. So if you want to take a picture as we go through this chart, feel free to do that. But here's the thing, I'm gonna highlight a few of these. These are ways that we can respond, or indicators that we are wrestling with or struggling with sinful anxiety. One is that we're critical of others. Another one, we have a false sense of control. That we deal with stress, we're stressed out. We experience fear. We're feeling stuck in our lives. We're starting to be wallowing in self-pity. We start to isolate ourselves, which leads to being depressed. And we start to look for answers in all the wrong places. We begin to make poor lifestyle choices, where we may sleep too little, or we may sleep too much. We may start to either overeat, or we may start to undereat. We may start drinking in excess. And what starts to happen with sinful anxiety is you start to take too much responsibility over the circumstances in your life, and they begin to weigh you down. And it reveals a couple different things. So at the top of this, I want to mention, it reveals, sinful anxiety reveals a distrust of God's promises and also a disbelief of God's providence. So it might be hard to read up top, but it really, what it reveals is a distrust in God's promises and a disbelief in God's promises. So first, the idea of a distrust in God's promises. The failure to believe in God and trust in his promises as given in his word. One pastor, a pastor in the UK, Jeremy Walker, said, "Anxiety is sinful when it reflects a spirit of unbelief in the gracious promises of a heavenly Father." But also, sinful anxiety reveals a disbelief of God's providence. And that idea of providence is the same as sovereignty, that God is in control. And so a disbelief that God is orchestrating all circumstances and events for his glory. So it's trying to figure out the future. But when the future belongs to God alone, because he's sovereign. And we begin to, when we're anxious, tell ourselves words that put the responsibility on us. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have responsibilities. I'm just saying we take the full responsibility, self. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." One person put it like this: worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. It causes your wheels to spin. If you've been stuck before, you're just spinning and can't get out. And the response really to that sinful anxiety is to turn to ourselves. And you start to see that even in the way that you talk about things that you're anxious about. For example, if you're having struggles financially, you might say something like this: how am I going to get the money to pay for this? Or how am I going to get through this situation? See, the focus then becomes me. How am I going to do this? And I know we can quickly say it, but we have to recognize what we're saying when we say that. What does it mean to entrust things to the Lord? In those circumstances, things take first place and Christ takes second place and takes a back seat. And I think Christians are told to this whole idea of anxiety, Christians are told to cope with it. You just got to cope with it. But, you know, I'm here to tell you this morning that we can experience victory over anxiety on a daily basis. So what does the Bible say about biblical anxiety? So we're going to put our chart back up. Biblical anxiety leads you to turn to God. It leads you to turn to God. And that is expressed in a number of different ways. By being prayerful. By finding truth in God's word. By trusting in God's attributes. By seeking Christian support and community. And then also by experiencing peace, God's peace, and rest. And Paul, in his role in ministry, he experienced a certain kind of proper anxiety. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:25 that the body of Christ should be united and care for one another. See, it says, but that the members may have the same care, and that's that word, anxiety, for one another. 2 Corinthians 11:28 says, and apart from other things, there's a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. So Paul had an anxiety for all the churches. He had a deep concern. He had a deep care for them. And even Paul, when he spoke of Timothy to the Philippian church, he said in Philippians 2:19-20, he said, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send you Timothy soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him, Timothy, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. That's the same word, anxious. Genuinely concerned. So I think there's an important thing for us to recognize. We need to be able to have really a test to determine whether or not something is a sinful anxiety versus a biblical anxiety. There's a Puritan, John Flavel, who offers this. He says this, as long as the fear awakens you to pray, it is serviceable to your soul. When it only produces distraction and despondency of mind, it is your sin and Satan's snare. But I think what we need to do as we think about anxiety is really ultimately say, what did Jesus say about it? Where was he at on this issue? Matthew 6, verses 25 through 27, where Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? See, Jesus tells us not to be anxious for tomorrow, but to focus on what he's called you to that day. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan for the future. I think sometimes we can misunderstand that. We are called to be good planners. We're called to be good stewards of all that God's entrusted to us. And that takes planning. And even it's a biblical idea. I mean, Joseph in Genesis, he prepared by storing away food for the coming famine. But what Jesus specifically says there is worry doesn't extend your life. In fact, it tends to be a distraction from serving Jesus today. So the call is to be faithful in what God has called us to do today. So we're going to go back to the chart here and see again where the trust is to be in. Look at the top on the side there with pointing to God. Our trust is to be in God's promises. Our trust is to be in, our belief is to be in God's providence, which means he's in control. So again, countering the distrust over there with self of God's promises and disbelief in God's providence with a trust in God's promises and belief in God's providence. You know, I spoke to someone this week who has found freedom from anxiety in their life. Someone that really struggled and wrestled with anxiety in the last year. And it caused her to go down the path of self-help and to move into areas of New Age philosophy. And I asked her about how she was able to find peace and experience daily victory. And that's when she told me that she recognized that God had always provided for her along the way. Even when she wasn't following him, he was there. She realized that everything she worried about before, God had brought her through. So she could look back on God's faithfulness. So then she asked the question, so why am I not trusting then? She said that she would grasp at things thinking that she could control them when she simply needed to grab hold of the Lord and his promises. She had confidence in the Lord. What an amazing testimony. Confidence in the Lord. See, Jesus in Matthew 6, he assures us that our Heavenly Father will take care of all of our needs. He repeats the word worry or worries at least 5 times because he knows that the human tendency is for us to do the exact opposite. Our human tendency is to focus on future cares and how they're going to get solved instead of the one that holds the future. We need to put our trust in him in every circumstance and situation. One thing I read this week was that one thing that our anxiety shows us is our anxiety shows us what we need to repent of. Jesus speaks about not worrying about tomorrow because that was in the Sermon on the Mount. Just a few verses earlier when he was teaching people how to pray, he said you are to pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he talks about your kingdom come, your will be done. But you know the next line is give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. He just spoke that we have to live in present tense each day trusting the Lord. So I want to look at a passage this morning as we continue to work through this that has meant a lot to me over the last 5 years. And that's Philippians 4:4-7. And I'm just going to read it first, and then we're just going to walk through a couple strategies on handling anxiety. Philippians 4:4-7, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the God of peace, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A great 2 verses or 4 verses to memorize, specifically the last 2. So here's a couple strategies that we're going to walk through that are basically, it's 1 per verse. Strategy number 1, we are to rejoice in the Lord always. So when it says in the Lord, that's like in Christ. That's the benefits that we have as a believer in Christ. It's this present imperative, which means it's continually calling for us to have this attitude in our lives, to rejoice in the Lord always. So what does that actually mean? Does that mean like just running down the street, you know, going through Walmart, just so excited about life and rejoicing in the Lord? Well, I mean, maybe you might express your joy to the Lord that way. But I think we have to recognize that joy is here is not how the world defines it. Because it's envisioned as an emotion. See, Christian joy is not a feeling, but it's a deep down confidence. It's a deep down confidence in your heart that God is in control of everything for the believer's good. For all things work together for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose. That's in Romans. You know, one of my favorite missionaries is Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to China. He left on, or he arrived in China March 1st, 1854, and he established the China Inland Mission. And the goal that he had was to reach the interior of China. No one else had done that yet. And he had envisioned really a greater task than even since the days of Paul, after Paul. But I want to say that at the time of his death, the China Inland Mission had 825 missionaries living in all 18 provinces in China. And there was over 25,000 Christian converts. But you know, even with a man like Hudson Taylor, a man who had faith in the Lord, he also experienced anxiety in his life. Because it was when he was overwhelmed with worry and he was drained and he was burned out, he received a letter from another missionary, John McCarthy, who spoke of him to him of John 15. John 15 is a great chapter. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he talks about abiding with Christ. So he says in his letter to Hudson Taylor, abiding, not striving or struggling, looking off unto him, trusting him for present power. And Hudson Taylor's eyes were opened. And he said, quote, I saw it all. I looked to Jesus. And when I saw, oh, how the joy flowed. So we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Second strategy, we're to remember that God is near. In verse 5, to know that God is there. It's so easy to kind of have this idea of head knowledge and know these things that are true about God, but not to apply them to your heart, to just know them. And we're called to apply them to our hearts. You know, it's easy to say God is in control. But do we really understand what that means for our lives? So one of the things that's so important when we're talking about remembering God is near is studying the attributes of God. God is sovereign. He's in control. God is all wise. God is faithful. And everything he does is based on love. God is love. And it's so important to be able to have people in our lives that can tell us and remind us of those things. So that's why when we say seeking Christian support, it's we come together and we're reminded of each other of those things. Even if I was talking to someone even this morning and saying, I had a chance yesterday to pray with somebody. And it's just prayer is powerful. And, you know, when you're praying for somebody, you know, you're praying and you're reminding you're beginning to talk about how God is so good. And that's really a perspective that we're called to have. A great place to go if you're looking and you wrestle with anxiety is the book of Psalms. Psalms. One commentator called it the frequented garden for the anxiety-ridden soul. It's maintaining this union with Christ. You know, one psalm, for example, is Psalm 10. And Psalm 10 is a powerful psalm. It's not the one we used this morning. But Psalm 10 actually starts out with this idea that God is so far away from me, because the person is so focused on their circumstances. But the beautiful thing about the Psalms is it always ends up moving to where it needs to be. Because at the very end of that psalm, in Psalm 10, he concludes in verses 16 to 18 by saying, "The Lord is King forever." See, that's what we have to get to as Christians. We have to get to that place in the midst of our anxiety, that the Lord is in charge. You know, the psalmist, he doesn't say, you know, God is far away, so I'm going to try to go somewhere else to try to get help. No, he's trusting in God's will. You know, Hudson Taylor, a number of different quotes that I was thinking about this week, and he was saying, take time. Give God time to reveal himself to you. Give yourself time to be silent and quiet before him, waiting to receive through the Spirit the assurance of his presence with you, his power working in you. Take time to read his word as in his presence, that from it you may know that he asks of you and what he promises you. This is what we're called to do, is remembering his word. So whatever makes you, what's making you feel anxious this morning, he is near. He's near. Third strategy this morning is to be obedient, to obey God's command. It's one thing to say, not be anxious, but it's another thing to actually do it and obey it. When Jesus mentions it and Paul mentions it, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. He's calling us to do this. And so we need to recognize that. We need to recognize. I mean, think about what Peter said about anxiety. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And that word cast is actually, it's not the typical word when you think of casting out nets, like when Jesus' disciples casted out nets. That word cast our anxiety on him, it's only mentioned one other time in Scripture, and that is in the book of Luke. That is Luke 19:35, where at that point, they were instructed to throw or cast all the clothing on top of a colt. To throw it. To throw all our anxieties on you because he cares for us. You know, the Bible often references people as sheep. You know, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And we're sheep that he's entrusting. And yeah, you can take that analogy many different places. That is true and not true. But I found out this week that sheep, they're not able to bear burdens. I don't know if anyone has owned a sheep. I've never owned a sheep. Has anyone in here owned a sheep before? All right, okay. But if you put a load on a sheep, it's going to die from a heart attack. And as Christ's sheep, we are designed to cast our burden unto him and not take it ourselves. Pastor Vernon McGee said that Paul says we are to worry about nothing because we are to pray about everything. And so this passage calls us to pray. And so we're going to close with this last strategy, which is believing that God will listen and that God will give us peace. Notice that it mentions prayer and supplication in this passage. Prayer is just, it's a general prayer that's focused on the attributes of God. Supplication is individual needs that you have. Not wants, but needs. And God knows what we need. But believing that God will listen and he'll give us peace when we hand it over to him, when we entrust it to him. So when we're dependent on God's plan, that will crush anxiety. And that will begin to give us peace. Knowing that God's in control. Psalm 139:16. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass. So yes, we're to be prayerful. We're to trust, if we can put that slide back up with the attributes. We're to find truth in God's word. We're to seek Christian support. And we're to experience God's peace by resting in Jesus. You know, knowing how much God cares for us will actually lead us to have a desire to take care of our bodies. The Bible says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. These are things like going out on walks, jogs, lifting weights. Those things help you to strengthen your body. But also, it's not just the physical. It's really our thought life. And we'll really close with this. Philippians 4:8, which is just the very next verse. Look what it says. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything, any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You see the connection between being anxious and having your thought life underneath the control of the Holy Spirit and trusting Him. Thoughts can be dangerous, and we are to examine them and make sure they align with the truth of Christ. The battle, one person said, the battle for the mind is a battle for truth. I was talking to someone yesterday or 2 days ago that's from a Catholic background. Someone that was feeling very anxious about things. And they told me, I'm just feeling anxious. You know, when I get anxious, what I do is I just start saying Hail Marys. I start going through the rosary. And I said, you know, in church a number of weeks ago, we actually put that up on the screen. And we showed, when you look through the rosary, how many times in the rosary it says, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. How few times it says, Our Father. And I said, if you read through the Bible and you look not to the Roman Catholic Church's traditions and you read through Scripture, what you're going to find is that the very last place we see Mary in the Bible is that she's in the upper room praying with everybody else. Nobody's praying to her. I said, the Bible says that there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. We must look to the Word of God for truth. And that is what we're called to do. We had a great time on Wednesday night at the hymn sing. The acoustics in there are great, so it really worked well. Quite a few hymns were shared, but I will tell you the hymn we started with and the hymn we ended with, because I think it's important to be reminded in the midst of anxiety. We started with the hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and we finished with Standing on the Promises of God. That right there is the antidote to anxiety. It's fixing your eyes on Christ and standing on His promises. So I just encourage you to trust Him today. Trust Him to be able to help you through each and every day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for this morning and the opportunity to look at Your Word. We're thankful for the precious promises that are there. And this morning, Lord, as we think about anxiety, we pray that You'd help us to, Lord, lay it all at Your feet, to trust You with it, to know, Lord, that You're in control, and Lord, that we can trust in Your plan. We pray, Lord, for anyone here that doesn't know You as their Savior, Lord, that You'd be working in their hearts even in this moment, Lord, helping them to see their need for You. In Christ's name we pray, amen.